reading from the Art of Chanting, Hare Krishna. It's a very eloquent and realized description of divine sound written by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And it comes from a collection of teachings of his that were originally spoken or written in English. The majority of his preaching was done in Bengali language. But he also met with many British royalty and government people, chancellors and governors and other highly placed government officers. And he met many professors from Europe. And on all these occasions, he spoke English. And the collection of those English teachings, some of his disciples collected. They noted down those teachings because there weren't any tape players. And then that collection was unified into a book, which is called Sri Chaitanya's Teachings, not to be confused with Teachings of Lord Chaitanya by Srila Prabhupada, and not to be confused with Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita, which is a book by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. These are three distinct and separate books, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita, and the Sri Chaitanya's Teachings. So this book is very much a similar format to a later book that was produced by Prabhupada's followers called Science of Self-Realization. Science of Self-Realization is not a book as we know it. It's not a book that Prabhupada sat down and wrote. In fact, he didn't write it at all. It's not a continuous theme with each chapter building on the previous chapter and developing some theme, conscious theme, by the author writing a book. Like this book, Art of Chanting, it goes in a sequence, and the author is presenting the subject matter in a sequential way for the understanding of the reader. The Science of Self-Realization is not that type of book. What is Science of Self-Realization? Science of Self-Realization is a series of disjointed articles. Prabhupada wrote articles here and there over a span of 10 or 12 years. Articles that were published in Bhakti Godhead magazine and some conversations, and it's basically a mixed bag or kind of a Khitri collection, Khitri book. And then the disciples, they collected all these articles and said, oh, Prabhupada, at all these different times he spoke about Guru Tattva, or he wrote some articles for Bhakti Godhead, so we'll collect all these things from 1966, 68, 71, 73, Paris, Germany, London, all over around the world, different times, different places, different settings. Then we'll put them together in one chapter called Choosing a Spiritual Master, Qualities of a Spiritual Master. And this is what this book is, if you've ever seen it. So anyone could do that. Any disciple could go through this. And there's many books like this. There's many books by Bhakti Rakshak, Sridhar Dave Goswami like this, or just collections of lectures. And it's a very common thing to do. I saw some books by Gopal Krishna Goswami, who is a guru in GBC for this area. And the disciples have done the same thing. They've collected bits and pieces of lectures here and there and put it together in a book, but he didn't sit down and write the book. There's one book in English called Purpose of Life, but it's just random things here and there. So this is Sri Chaitanya's teaching. So in here he has a particular lecture he gave about the life of Nam. Nam means the holy name, the name that we're chanting. The name we're chanting, is it alive or is it dead? Because we say the life of Nam, that means there's the death of Nam. That means living Nam or dead Nam. Like living person, are you a living person or are you a dead person? Are you alive or are you dead?
Alive.
Well, it depends. what is your definition of life? That's the first thing. You have to define what is life. There's material life and spiritual life. Right? And there's a blend of both. There's a blend. There's pure material life, and there's pure spiritual life, and then there's a mixture. And there's a reflection of both. Abbas. So he says, transcendental sound must have its origin in the transcendental world. Very logical. So the Krishna's name is transcendental. God is spiritual, transcendental. It is not mayak sound vibration. It is shabda. It is not Brahman. It is not shabda. It is shabda Brahman, spiritual sound vibration. So sound, transcendental sound, must have its origin in Goloka Vrindavan. The mere physical sound is not the holy name of Krishna. Physical sound means the vibration. Ra, ma. That's called physical sound. Can you hear it? Physical means the body. This is called the physical body. Physical sound. You have ears, then you can hear a physical sound. You understand? Ra, ma, Krishna. The mere physical sound is not the holy name of Krishna. Repeating only the syllables of the holy name is called mayak sound. Did you hear that? Repeat the syllable. What are the syllables of the holy name? Do you know what the word syllable means? What is it? What are the syllables of the holy name? Ha 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 ha. Ha 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 ha. Ray 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 ray. Kri 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 kri. Shna 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 shna. Ra 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 ra. Ma 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 ma. So your baby is chanting ma 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 ma. And you're also chanting ma ma ma. What's the difference? No difference. It's mayak sound. It has no spiritual essence. Our Param Guru is saying, repeating only the syllables of the holy name is called mayak sound. Maya. Do you know what maya means? It means not transcendental. It means material. This chanting has no spiritual essence. The life of the holy name is absent in offensive chanting. The most important thing in chanting the holy name is the spiritual realization backing the name. That is real name. So it means nam plus vigyan. Sambandha gyan, sambandha vigyan. Realization of one's relationship with Krishna on different levels. Jivera sarupaya Krishna or Nityadas, that's one level. Then realization that I am Krishna's servant, and I realize that to serve him I must surrender to Guru, so I become Guru Sevak and do Guru Seva and develop my Guru Bhakti in order to develop my Krishna Bhakti. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado, yasya prasada nakati katopi. Dayam stuvams yasya sri sandhyam vande guru sri charanaravindam. Then, on a higher level, as one progresses from nishta to ruchi, asakti to bhava, then again, sambandha gyan. Chanting sambandha gyan means my eternal relationship with Krishna, my bhav, my relationship based on my bhav, my stahi bhav, my permanent loving mood towards the Lord, loving the Lord as in madura ras, or vatsali ras, or sakhi ras. This is also chanting the name with sambandha gyan. So the life of name is absent in offensive chanting. The most important thing in chanting the holy name is a spiritual realization backing the name. That is real name. A tape recorder can pronounce the holy name. A parrot, a tota, can also chant the holy name. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Some people chant like that. It sounds like that. It sounds like little human totas. But the physical sound is not Krishna. You cannot capture the name of Krishna simply by vibrating the syllables of the holy name with your tongue. What's the proof of that? We are the proof. What is the proof? We are the proof. Because we're chanting Hare Krishna. Have you captured Krishna? Are you seeing Krishna? Are you feeling Krishna? Are you kissing Krishna? Are you embracing Krishna? Are you tasting Krishna? Are you hearing Krishna's flute? Are you hearing Krishna's voice? No? Then what is your chanting? And what's another example? Ravana wanted to capture Sita, and he thought he did. But factually, Ravana did not even touch her divine body. Ravana caught only a mundane replica of Sita Devi, an imitation which was like a statue of Sita. Because the Lakshman Rekha was a ring of fire, if you know anything of Ramayana. Lakshman Rekha was an Agni Chakra. And Lakshman said, I'm going to help Ram, being induced by your petitions, although there's no need, but because you've insulted my manhood, then I must leave now. So then Lakshman said, you stay within this Rekha line of protection, then you'll be all right. So Ravana came as a sannyasi, and he said, please give me some fruits. And she offered some fruits, some bhikshu, to the mendicant Ramana in disguise as a sannyasi. And he couldn't cross the Rekha, Lakshman Rekha. This was a vyuha, or a raki vyuha, a protective line. So he was just reaching his hands, and Sita reached her hands across the Rekha with the basket of fruit as charity to give to the mendicant, Sannyasi Vairagi. And then when she did that, Ravana grabbed Sita, but the Sita he grabbed is called Mayak Sita. This is described in, I believe it's a Korma Purana. In the story of Lord Chaitanya's tour of South India, he found one book called Korma Puran, and the story is narrated there. So that when he took Sita and grabbed Sita, he grabbed the Mayak Sita, false Sita. The real Sita was taken at that moment. As soon as Mother Sita reached her hands and her hands crossed the fire, then the true form of Sita. What is the true form of Sita? Transcendental Shakti. Swarup Shakti. Sita Devi is Ramchandra's Swarup Shakti. Samvit Shakti, Ladini Shakti, Sandini Shakti. She is Ladini Shakti. Antaranga spiritual energy, pure spiritual energy, nothing material there. Her body is divine, transcendental, totally spiritual. So Agni Dev, being a devotee of the Lord, by the arrangement of Yoga Maya, Krishna's spiritual energy, Yoga Maya took Sita Devi and entered that fire and took her to the fire god, to Agni. And the real Sita stayed there for 1 year. And the false Sita was taken by the Mayak Sita, false Sita, material Sita, the statue, as it says here by Bhaktisiddhanta. He took the statue to Lanka and restrained her or confined her in the Ashokavan for 1 year. And of course, you know, during that year there was the gathering of the monkey army and Jambavan and Hanuman and Sugriva and all these characters, and they built a bridge to Lanka, and the battle was undertook, and Ravana was killed, and the Mayak Sita was retrieved. And then to prove her chastity, then Ram said, you have to enter fire. Sita Devi, you have been with this other man for 1 year, and according to Vedic law, a Vedic man should not take back his wife if she's even 1 day out of the house. If she's 1 day out of the husband's house, then he should not take her back in the house, according to Vedic law. You've been gone for 1 year, so to prove your chastity, you have to enter the fire. So then she said, no problem. She walked in the fire, and then Mayak Sita burned up, and Agni Dev produced the real Sita. The real Sita came from Agni Loka. This is described in Korma Puran, and the story is told by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Chaitanya Charitamrita. So it's just like I'm in my house, and just like these famous persons, they often make statues, like we have a statue of Prabhupada or of Murti. So maybe I have a statue that looks just like me, a plastic Murti, and you come in and say, hey, I'm going to kidnap you and hold you for ransom. Okay, well, take this statue. Looks like me. So I give him the plastic statue, and he runs off with it. He says, I have the Maharaj. I kidnapped the Maharaj. And then he calls up all my friends and followers. I'm holding your Maharaj in captivity. You have to give some ransom. And then they say, And you say, let me see a picture. And they show a picture. Oh, looks like, it's just like Maharaj. It looks just... And somebody says, wait a minute, that's a Murti. That's some plastic thing. The real Maharaj is in Radhakund. This can't be the real Maharaj. This is some fake Maharaj in Bombay. This Maharaj sitting giving class is some plastic Murti. Mayak Maharaj. The real form is in Radhakund. So our name is Mayak Nam or real Nam? It's our life. It says the life of Nam. So we have to think deeply. You cannot vibrate the holy name simply by moving the lips and tongue. The pure name of Krishna is not lip deep, but heart deep. Ultimately, it goes beyond the heart and reaches the land of Krishna. When Krishna comes down, the name comes through the heart and moves the lips and tongue. That vibration is then the true holy name of Krishna. When Krishna, in the form of sound, descends from the transcendental world into the heart, and from the heart, controlling every aspect of the nervous system, comes to the lips and tongue, dancing there, that is Krishna Nam. The holy name, the true holy name, is only realized when we approach Krishna with a very intense serving attitude. At that time, Krishna himself may come down by his grace, being attracted by our pure serving nature. So it's all a matter of avatar, nam avatar. The name must come down. The finite, we are finite. Or we can say we're infinitesimal or finite. The finite cannot realize the infinite because he's finite. We have no power to perceive the infinite. We have no power to meet the infinite. We are helpless in this regard. We're so tiny and so insignificant and so powerless. However, the infinite can reveal himself to the finite. That is the meaning of the infinite. The infinite means the unlimited God or Bhagavan, Krishna, because one of his qualities is vatsalya, affection, unlimited and unrestricted, unlimited and unrestricted affection, bhakta vatsalya. The infinite Lord, he can reveal himself to the finite. God can show himself to us, or he can make arrangements by which we can see him. On the battle of Kurukshetra, Arjuna could not see the Aishwarya Rup of Lord Krishna. He could not see the Virat Rup. He did not have that type of bhav. He had Prem bhav. His bhav was not Aishwarya bhav. His bhav was Madhura, sweet bhav. And he saw the Lord as his sweet friend. He's my Sakha, Saketi. It says right in Gita, you're my Saketi. Saketi Mam, you're my friend. I've eaten with you. We've joked together, we've sported together, we've rode in the forest, we've hunted together, we slept on the same bed, we're like best of friends. But I have some desire, because I know that you're also the Supreme Bhagavan. Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam, Indrari Vakyam Vale, Mule Ridyanti Yuge Yuge. He says that, can you show me your Virat Rup? And Lord Krishna said, you don't have the bhav. Because you see according to your bhav. A mother always sees her child as her child. Right? He grows up, he's 6'6" tall. He weighs 100 kilos. He's like a massive gorilla. And he comes home from college to see his mother. He plays fullback for the Los Angeles Rams and the football team. He's a huge gargantuan figure, 6.5 feet tall, 100 kilos. And he comes home and his mother says, oh, my baby! And embraces him and kisses him. Oh, are you all right? Oh, you look so thin. Are you getting enough food in college? I don't think they're feeding you. Here, take some cookies, take some this bread, this, that. So what is her bhav? Her bhav is motherly love. Vatsalya bhav. Vatsalya, vatsa. Vatsa is Sanskrit for baby cow, calf. as a mother feels so intensely in love with her cow, with her baby. This is in the visible world before our eyes, the most graphic and profound expression of a mother's love for her child is found in a cow's love for her baby. Of course, you're all city people. You probably don't know what a cow is. Probably never seen one. But if you ever, except maybe painted on a can somewhere, can of buffalo ghee. It says pure ghee, and it's all buffalo ghee, but they show a cow on the outside. Painting of a cow. But if by chance you've ever lived in a village or grown up in a village, as we have, then you'll see you'll understand and perceive the intense love that a cow has for her calf. Cow is Gai and calf is Vatsa. Vatsa, V-A-T-S-A, Vatsa. This means calf. So the mother, when the calf is born, she licks the calf. She licks his legs, she licks his backside. She licks his backside, backside. Namaste. But, B-U-T, Lakin, no, not Lakin. B-U-T, but, B-U-T-T, double T. So she licks and licks his face, everything licking. And so much licking, she wants to swallow her baby. She wants to put him inside her belly. She's licking and he's like this. All day long, all day, all night, 24 hours, down. Only this. And then a human mother should have her baby, okay. And then he cries, okay, enough's enough. Here, you take the baby. You're the husband. It's your baby too. It's not just my, no, it's your baby. No, it's your baby too. You take the baby. So many times the wife says, she dumps the baby off on the husband. He says, you're the woman. You take the thing. I don't like children. What do you mean? Why do you have a baby then? I don't know. You, it's your fault. So they're not so much 24 hours into the baby. Rarely. But without exception, every cow is 29 hours a day into her baby. Totally. And the baby is a little bit separated from her, and she's tied up a little bit separated from her, so she won't drink all the milk, or the baby won't drink all the milk. The mother cow just stares at the baby all day. Doesn't look anywhere, right, left, center, up, and down, just looks at the baby. And every so often she goes, hom, hom. And then the baby cow goes, hom, hom. Mother says, are you okay? Hom, hom. And the baby says, yeah, hom, hom. But I miss you. And he says, hom, hom, I miss you too. And they talk back and forth. So this is Vatsa. Vatsa. So this is Vatsalya. So therefore, the word in Sanskrit to describe Mother Yashoda's love for Krishna or Rohini Ma's love for Rohini Nandan Balaram Dalji, the word that describes that phenomenon, a transcendental love or intimacy of a mother for her children, specifically motherly love for Krishna, that word is Vatsalya Bhav. Vatsalya Rati or Vatsalya Bhav. And Krishna, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, this term is there for him. This term is not used for Ram, nor Vishnu, or Narayan, or any Das Avatar, anywhere in Vedic literature. This particular term, or this phrase, is only used for Bhagavan Sri Krishna, Vrindavan Sri Krishna. And this term is Bhaktavatsal. Bhaktavatsal. Bhaktavatsala. Bhaktavatsal. Means that Bhagavan Sri Krishna has this type of love for his bhaktas. Vatsal. Vatsal means vatsa. Means as a mother cow has such intense and compelling love for her baby, for her calf, for her vatsa, that's the intensity of the love that Bhagavan Sri Krishna has for his devotees. We are the vatsa. We are the calf, and he is the mother cow. So it's called Bhakta Vatsal. I think you've heard this term. Have you heard this term? Krishna's Bhakta Vatsal. He has so much love and affection. Usually say, let's translate Krishna, who has affection for his devotees. That seems so bland. If you know the Sanskrit and you know the understanding and you've heard from the Acharyas, then it goes very deep. This term is not some small term. It's very deep and unique characteristic of one form of Godhead, who is the most complete representation of the Godhead. The Purna Bhagavan, there's Krishna. There's Bhagavan Vishnu, Bhagavan Ram, but Purna Bhagavan, this is Krishna, because he's so complete in all aspects of Godhead. In terms of tattva, he's complete. In terms of rasa, he's complete. And bhav, and sambandha, relationship, everything is complete. So therefore, he is the topmost form of Godhead. The sound of Krishna's name is not produced from the material plane. The spiritual sound has come down into this plane. This plane means where we are. Krishna can come down, but we cannot so easily go up there. The holy name is only realized when we approach him with a very intense serving attitude. At that time, Krishna himself may come down by his grace, may or may not, being attracted by our pure serving nature. So what gives life? What gives life to the holy name? The pure serving nature, if anyone's listening, just to keep it short. What gives life to the holy name? The pure serving nature. Or you can say, an intense serving attitude. If you don't have an intense serving attitude, your name that you're chanting is D-E-A-D. Dead. Katam Hogya. It ain't there. It's absent. Shunyavad. Empty, void. It's placebo. Medicine, it's just a sugar capsule. There's nothing there. So it has to come down. So all we can do is try to become attractive. Try to become beautiful. How do we become beautiful? How do we become attractive? By makeup and fake up? Put on lots of fake up and makeup? And wear fancy pink and green dresses? Or blue and yellow, or purple, or hot pink, then you become beautiful and attractive, maybe. Or your boyfriend or husband or something. Well, we become beautiful and attractive by service. Then that's how that beauty, Krishna's looking for beauty. Krishna's also attracted by beauty. But that beauty, what beautifies the soul is service. What makes a soul attractive is service. The more service, the more surrender, the more beauty. And then Krishna comes. Then the name comes. The holy name is looking. Are there any beautiful people here? And they say the beautiful people. Doesn't mean you have crores in the bank and gold Rolls Royce in the garage and a home movie theater with a 250 square foot screen. Home movie theater with a 250 square foot, 10 foot by 25 foot. How's that? That's a good size. 25 feet this way and 10 feet this way. That's the ultimate home movie theater, right? A whole wall. You have to break down a few walls and step back to see it. You have to have a 5,000 square foot apartment to look at it. So no, that doesn't make you a beautiful person. Become a beautiful person. Krishna, the holy name is looking for beautiful people, for attractive people. So someone who has an intense serving attitude. I want to serve, I want to serve, I want to serve the devotees, I want to serve the temple, I want to serve. Where is the service? Give me service, give me service. Then the holy name, oh, this person is so beautiful. It's so attractive. I want to live in this heart. This is a beautiful heart. The holy name is looking for beautiful hearts, not beautiful noses and beautiful asses. And beautiful whatevers. The holy name is looking for beautiful hearts. And hearts become beautified and become attractive by intense service. Intense serving attitude, which means the desire and intention to serve. And intense service performance, means the actual service. It's not enough to have the attitude. Oh, I really want to serve. I have an attitude for service. I have an intense serving attitude. I really want to serve. I have a strong intention to serve. I'm full of the intense serving attitude. I really want to serve. Oh, excuse me, Prabhu. It's a Sunday feast. Can you serve the prasad? Oh, I'm really busy right now. I have a lot of things to do. Bye. Attitude is not enough. There must be actions. Attitude is your bhavana, your conception, your idea. And your it's the mood and action. Mood is not enough. Action must be there. So this is a very wonderful article by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. It can make us think about our own chanting of the holy name. And is there any particular questions on this point? He's saying in the village that if by chance, by destiny or whatever, that baby, that calf, dies untimely, he just dies, and then they make some decoy or some murti of a calf out of straw or whatever. Like they have scarecrows in the field, they have these scarecrows to scare away the crows, they make some straw man. So they make some straw, some murti, diorama, whatever, of a calf. And they put that calf in front of the cow. And cows aren't very smart. They're very auspicious animals, no doubt. But they after all, they are animals. And they're not Einstein. they're not Albert Einstein. They're very simple and basically dumb animals, although they're usually very affectionate, very gentle and innocent, but they're very dumb. So when this murti of a calf is placed in front of the mother, what he said, when the calf dies, the mother immediately stops giving milk because she has a sensitivity and she understands that my milk is for the baby, and she feels so much distress and so much unhappiness. So that's a way of expressing her broken heart. So my only purpose of living is to feed my baby. My baby has died. Better then, there's no reason to produce this milk. So no milk is coming. She stops giving milk. So they show this decoy or this imitation calf in front of the mother, then she thinks, rather foolishly, out of her own innocence, animalistic innocence, and she's, oh, my calf is here. And she starts licking the calf, and then she gives milk again.